Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December 10th, 2014, 2 weeks until Christmas Eve. Pastor Jason, Christmas time's a-coming.
Yeah, isn't that true? Well, we heard that in the song in the beginning, right?
Yeah, it's coming quicker than we all know. But what a celebratory time with the Advent season in full gear, I guess, if hopefully you're being grounded with devotional readings or time with the family, just reflecting on what the season is all about, or maybe various Christmas presentations that have gone on, or for that matter, the Singing Men of GNN. We've had a couple different concerts, and there's another one coming this Saturday at the Decatur Civic Center. I think it's just $10 a ticket, and there'll be a lot of featured guests. Blue Suede Crew will lead off, and that includes Scott Waddles. He's an Elvis tributarian, I guess. I don't know.
You told me he can't be called an impersonator or something.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't want to impersonate. He wants to celebrate or something and not mimic it yet. I don't know how it all works, but it's an
But if you aren't you...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's only one person, so then you have to be impersonating that person.
But he's doing a good job of the Christmas favorites, Oh Holy Night, Silent Night.
Maybe he wants to be the other, because then he doesn't have to do the peanut butter and banana sandwiches and all that.
Yeah, he's the good Elvis.
Thank you very much.
He's the thin Elvis.
The thin Elvis. But that would be the younger Elvis, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The younger Elvis.
Actually, he's like one of the notables around the country, does such a good impersonation that, I mean, he sounds really authentic, as authentic as you can sound. I don't know how that all works, but the Singing Men are going to be there featured as backup.
Does he do the Blue Christmas?
Yeah, he does a bunch of them, many of the favorites. So, and he does them real well. If you closed your eyes, you might think, hey, Elvis is alive. So, anyways, that's all happening. Yeah, there was a sighting, I think, this morning in White Heath. So. He'll be joined with Mattoon High School Green Wave Singers and then the Singing Men of GNN. There's two presentations, 3 and 7 p.m. at the Decatur Civic Center. Come join us this Saturday for a special concert. It's kind of like a rock and roll Christmas, and yet the Singing Men will sing some of our sacred arrangements and such, but it'll be a fun holiday festivity at the Decatur Civic Center. You can purchase tickets at 1-877-840-0457. 877-840-0457 this Saturday. Come join the Singing Men of GNN, Blue Suede Crew, the Mattoon High School Green Wave Singers, Scott Waddles, and we'll have a good time together. Yeah, Christmas season. Wow, so many things happening. My mom got in from Arizona yesterday. There was these $49 flights. Thank you, God. I got an email. I'm like, $49 one way? And I thought, we got to work this out. And so she arrived. Esther and I drove up to O'Hare with Beamer and picked her up. And so they're getting acquainted, and it's fun. It's the first time she's meeting Holly and Esther.
Nice.
So that's kind of exciting. But I got to tell you a story, and you'll appreciate this. The men will totally get it. And I'm eating humble pie. And it's one of those things where, you know how Holly drives, right?
I mean, a sip of coffee.
You know how Holly drives, like off the road last winter 4 different times.
And, yeah.
You know, the BMW got totaled, and, you know, she'll say, I'm an Asian driver, you know. So as we've gone with just the one vehicle for like the last 3 months after the BMW has been over at Bill Cook's collision repair and $5,000 to repair it, it's not worth it. And so it's just sat there. Anyways, long story short, we've been working all of our schedules just with the one vehicle. And we've been looking at cars for months, and I just wanted to find a good deal. It's just like, Lord, just help me find a good deal. You know,
You're cheap.
Yeah, totally, totally cheap. And you know, it's resources, and yeah, it's just like, Lord, I just want a good deal. I don't even care what kind of vehicle it is. It could be just about anything. And then at one point, you even mentioned vans, and you're like, you really like vans. I'm like, you know, I don't want to go back to the vans. I drove vans for years. But you planted that seed. So we've just been looking, car dealerships online for months. And nothing just fell into place. And I've gone to a lot of different car lots. All to say that it was getting to be crunch time, you know, with going up to O'Hare and the radio Jeeps on its last leg. I mean, that thing, it died on me four times on Tuesday, and it's it's overserved its purposes for years. Anyways, we went to Lonnie, I can't remember, Custom Car, right on 47 there in Muhammad. He's got a great reputation and good man, knows his cars, and we've seen some things on his lot, and we saw this one Honda or something. And so I was thinking of a compact car, something fuel efficient that'll get Holly back and forth. And if she crashes it or something, it would be a big loss. You know, so I thought the price range, you know, a certain amount. And we, anyways, long story short, because I want to talk about Zechariah, because I know God put some things on your heart even this morning. Yeah. So we go there looking for like this fuel efficient compact car. And there's this van, a Chrysler Town and Country there. Mm-hmm. And Holly's like, oh, we could use it to help pick up people, and when we do like an Alpha or this, and I was thinking, well, you did say a van, you know, it's comfortable, and you got the room, and it can accommodate other people, and I was like, and so she said, well, try it. So anyways, long story short, I test ride, and I'm like, if she's happy, I'm happy, and you know, it could work. There are some advantages of having it, and I like how it the seats all fold down and everything. So there was a certain price for it, which is a little stretch for us, and it's a 2010, so we thought, well, but it was a, it was fairly priced, but it was a little stretch for us. So as Holly and I drove off, we said, well, let's go, like, you know, and Holly's kind of, you know, I'm kind of the, it's anyways, I said to Holly, why don't you negotiate it?
This feels like counseling.
Well, wait till you hear how the story goes.
Oh,
so
my God.
This is all the build-up to tell you the thing, that life lesson that I learned in humble pie that I'm eating. So we got a real good deal on it. They accepted.
Wait, how'd you end up back there? You left.
Well, we left, and so then we called them up, and we gave them a price. Basically, it was going to be $2,000 less than the price that they listed. And then in the midst of it, Holly says she added a few more hundred. And so the guy said, well, I'll see. He wanted to see. He was selling it on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah.
Anyways, they accepted it an hour later. So I'm like, oh, wow.
So we just bought a car.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's in great shape. I drive it home. Holly's following me because we had the Jeep there. And I've picked up my mail for 25 years at the mailbox. Long story short, I scratch it, a good scratch, right in the door. You know, 25 years, I've picked up the mail at the mailbox. I've driven all sorts of vehicles.
But a van's a different deal. You're kind of higher.
Well, and it's longer.
Yeah.
But I pulled in. I'm like, oh, no. And so I try to back out gingerly, hoping that I just nicked it. And it's kind of a good, like, six-inch scratch. And it dug in. I'm like, I just drove it home. I mean, it's a new car, and of all the people, I thought for sure this is going to happen to Holly, and for sure she's going to be the one that's going to put the first dent, scratch off the side of the road, and it was me. And I'm like, what can I say? So for hours yesterday, I said, I can't believe I just got this van home. I didn't even get in the driveway, and I already scratched it. So
nice.
Got to go back to Bill Cook and see if he could kind of like rub
buff
it out.
It out or no,
but it's not just like a buff it out. It's in deep. I mean, he's going to have to paint it, and I'm like, I can't even believe it. So here I was the one that thinking all these years and never been in an accident and humble pie. So Holly's just had a field day. She said, that's not a big deal. Anyways, well, thank you, God, for resources and the ability to have a vehicle, and hopefully we can use it to his glory. It's kind of fun having that extra room in the back and being able to.
I like it. I'll be honest with you. I got my little sedan, and any chance I get, I'll ride in that van because I loved it. I like kind of sitting up a little bit more. It's comfortable. It's got all the amenities.
Yeah.
The kids are a couple extra feet back.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they're in another car.
Yeah. Well, and then while I was at Bill Cook's, because he sells tires and stuff, and I didn't know he did that besides all the other things he does over there, and the BMW has been sitting there idle, and I thought, you know, I should probably start that. Like, I thought, how do we jump it in case it won't start because the hood's, you know, needs to be cut open or pried open. But anyways, it's not an easy thing to do. But it started right up, and I was like, and I started looking at the front, and I saw a car a couple days ago without the front cap, like the exposed bumper. I started thinking, you know, I could still probably drive that thing around.
You had that Great News Radio banner from Israel. You could just put that across the front of it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, all he has to do is use those, what's those plastic tie things, tie
straps? I don't think you should think about this too much.
And then,
I think
like, bungee cord the hood down.
I think you should maybe.
No, I was sold. With it started up, I started feeling like, oh, the BMW, he's okay, and I saw this other car, and I thought, hey, Bill, just break off the other parts that are hanging there and the plastic that's broken. And I said, the grill I'm not so worried about. I said, we could kind of fix that one little area. And I thought, if it still runs, so you might see me back in the – and I started thinking, it was running pretty good, and I don't think the damage was, like, to the engine. So I think we're going to end up with, like, the two vehicles running because the radial Jeep's on its last leg. And so I'm thinking we're going to probably need to have something. And who cares if there's not a front bumper cap? You know, and there might be some of the needs.
Let me just I just want to throw this out there. Yeah. For your consideration.
But it is a safe vehicle.
For your consideration.
Okay.
The bumper is not an aesthetic piece. It's not there so that the car looks like it's all together.
Yeah, yeah.
The bumper serves the function to protect whatever is on the other side of the bumper.
Safety first.
Yeah, sans no bumper. Nothing to protect what's now over
there. There's still a bumper. It's just it doesn't have that big cap covering.
Yeah, the cover that covers the bumper.
Yeah, but there's still the solid bumper there. It'll be like, oh, I see the hillbillies are back. So
yeah, that's true. You can get some, you know, just take the leather seats out and put some wicker chairs in there. Yeah. Just do that instead.
So I think all is well. I kind of felt pretty encouraged that it started up right away, and I just start feeling, poor little Beaver.
Next thing you know, old Mark's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Mark, get the BMW out of there.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe I was too prideful driving it around, you know, thinking, wow, I'm driving a BMW, even though it was a 2001 and, you know, had some issues. You know, I don't have that anymore. Like, wow, here's Mark in a BMW. Here's Mark in a clunker. So, maybe that's all good. Anyway, so, hey, we're in the Advent season. There's a lot to give thanks to God for. And I know this morning you came into the studio saying you had a special, I won't say a revelation, but a time with God with some understanding or newness with this name Zechariah and how well it fits with our Christmas season. Is that not true? I'm trying to transition out of like my storytelling and salvaging
well,
the last 10 minutes.
I preach on Zechariah on Sunday, so I've been spending time reading it, and we're reading Advent as a family every single day. I was joking with you beforehand that, you know, we do the chocolate calendar thing, and I'm not sure if that's a great idea because we read it right before bed, and therefore the kids get a piece of chocolate right before they go to sleep, which means they don't go to sleep. So I'm not sure that it's the best laid plan. But
Hershey's was behind that.
Oh, it's not Hershey's. I don't know who makes it. Schokla. It comes from Germany.
Oh.
Actually, we gave out. It was really great. I went to you can get them at Aldi. Aldi's a German company. And a lot of people think Aldi is cheap, and Aldi is cheap. It's inexpensive, but they're owned by a German company. So when it comes to some of these kind of Christmas, when you go there during Christmas time, they have great stuff. They have the German chocolates and the little chocolate Santa Clauses and all that kind of stuff that sometimes is hard to find in other places. Stolen, the Christmas bread and that. They have all this kind of stuff that's uniquely German. So they're always a great place to get your Advent calendars because they're only like 99 cents. But I went there the other day and they were only a quarter for the nice ones. There's two different kinds. There's a cheaper one and a nicer one. And so we bought up a huge quantity of them and gave them out at church on Sunday morning to get people. You know, I said, boy, if we can get them to, if we can woo them with chocolate to get them to read their kids Jesus every day, I'm all for it.
Yep.
It's worked in our house. So, I mean, you know, almost to the point now, I mean, where the kids know, I mean, because we use the same book every year for Advent. And the kids, Jacob especially, once we get into the swing of it, he can actually recite it. I mean, he's memorized it, you know. Especially at least the first four or five pages, you know, where it talks about him being Emmanuel and that he'll save us from our sins and all these things. So it's really kind of great. So Sunday morning I preached on just the beginning of Luke, and we're going to go through each of the revelations as we get towards Christmas where the angels extol glory to God in the highest. But
now when you say each of the revelation, for somebody tuning in for the first time, revelation, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, God spoke to Zechariah, or actually the angel Gabriel. It was a divine revelation through the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, then to Mary. And then the angels, a chorus of angels, reveal themselves to the shepherds, letting us know the Christ. Christ has been born, that this long expectancy, this 400 years. In fact, during that time of 400 years from the last prophetic word of Malachi, you have to remember, too, that when Malachi spoke his last words, it had been like a really rich time of God speaking into the nation of Israel. We had Habakkuk, we had Haggai, we had Zechariah, we had Esther, we had Jeremiah. One after another, we had these strong prophetic voices speaking into, and as we've talked about in the past, right there towards the end, Malachi comes in right towards the tail end of Haggai. So you've had like five or six prophets just speaking God's word as the temple's being rebuilt, the city's being rebuilt, the law being read, as
people
reads.
Have returned.
Yeah, I mean, you have this amazing time that's happening. So everybody, I think at the time, maybe, you know, there's not a lot of writing to let us know this, but the people of Israel had to be thinking, something's happening, God's doing something. And then all of a sudden it goes silent. And for some of us, we don't understand. I mean, that's about 400 or so years of silence. We don't think about that because it's only one thin, empty page in our Bible between the Old and the New Testament. But we had this long, long, just kind of nothing.
No. Well, I was thinking that in terms of like the United States of America, you know, we're founded, we're a couple hundred years old. If we went back to the origin of the U.S. of A., it's double that.
Right.
I mean, we can't imagine 400 years. It's all the history of the United States and then double that.
Yeah, and so what a lot of people say is that if you follow the movements of cultures over hundreds of years, and we know this because when Jesus comes on the scene, cultures tend to move more secular. And so, you know, government takes over, government begins to kind of reach and then overreach, and so the culture becomes generally more secular, which is what was happening in Israel. Israel is becoming more secular. The religion or the religious things, the stuff at the temple was becoming religiosity, religion for the sake of religion and not for religion for the sake of seeking God and his spirit. And so that's what happens when Zechariah goes to the temple in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah is chosen by lots. By the way, Zechariah is just he's part of 24 divisions of priests who would serve 2 weeks at the temple. And so what would happen is during those 2 weeks at the temple, they would cast lots, and 56 priests a day were chosen to go and perform different services at the temple. Well, they cast lots on this day, and Zechariah is chosen to go in to give the altar of incense, which is the grandest of tasks that could be given to you in terms of serving the temple. So much so that when you did the altar of incense, you had to retire immediately after that. You never came back to the temple for service because it was such a grand, they figured your cup had to be full to overflowing at that point. And so Zechariah is chosen, but Zechariah was just a country preacher. I mean, he was a common guy. He was like myself, preaching at a small church, synagogue, out in the country, preaching to a small number of people. He was good. He was faithful. What he was a remnant. The Bible says he was upright in the sight of God. And so Zechariah goes into the temple, and I have to think at that moment, Zechariah has this welling with pride, and his wife, Elizabeth, too, she was welling with pride. But Zechariah and Elizabeth had a problem, and a lot of people need to understand this. While Zechariah was a preacher, a religious man, I think that he was on the fringes of religion because his wife Elizabeth was barren. And in terms of that culture, barrenness was seen as disgraceful. Barrenness for Elizabeth was probably deeply and emotionally hard for her. I mean, it was probably miserable. In fact, when we read the Bible, we see that. We see that Hagar in Genesis says to Sarah, "You're barren." I mean, she kind of looks down upon her. All throughout the Bible, barrenness is talked about in terms of misery, in terms of bitterness, in terms of heart. In fact, Elizabeth, at the end of or in the middle of Luke chapter 1, she'll say, "This reproach or this disgrace has been removed from me." So we know how barrenness was looked at. So we know then how the religious folks would have looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Yeah, probably people were saying, "I wonder who sinned in their lives."
Yeah, well, it's very much like John chapter 9. Yeah. Who sinned, Jesus, his parents or him, that he was born blind?
Right.
And Jesus says, no. Actually, this happens so that you might see the work of God. And so what's fascinating is that Zechariah goes in there and he enters into there and he begins to light the incense and he begins the prayers. Now, we don't know what his prayers were exactly. I like to think on a heart level, maybe his prayers were, "God, I wish I would have had a son." But also we know that he was praying for the redemption of Israel because that's what the priests would pray. So we know what the priests would pray. But then I also wonder if he prayed for a son. And I only say that because I think it would be quite interesting because when God comes and he says, "You're going to have a son and he's going to be part of the redemption of Israel," God's going, "Yep, both of them.
Double entendre here.
Got them both covered. Merry Christmas."
Yeah.
But I love that Zechariah, the angel, appears to Zechariah and he says, do not be afraid. Why? Because Zechariah was afraid. And the angel appears at the right side of the altar. Why the right side, do we ask that question? On the right side of the altar was what was called the showbread or the divine bread of fellowship. It was the divine presence of God that manifested himself in this angel Gabriel at that place. That's why he did it at the right-hand side of the altar. And so the angel says this, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. By the way, in the Greek, that means whatever was just prayed is what has been answered. So he's not answering some prayer that had been prayed a while ago. This is an answer to a prayer that has just been prayed. You and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and he shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, and he'll be great before the Lord. You must not drink of wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. This is interesting. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, because generally in the Old Testament, the Spirit would just came upon them, not in them. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wise and the just, and make ready a people for the Lord prepared. So this is fascinating because Gabriel says, you're going to have a son, he's going to be called John, and he is going to prepare the entire nation for the coming of this Messiah. And what does Zechariah say? How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. He's just been told that he's going to have a son and the redemption of Israel is coming. The redemption of God's people is coming. And he can't see that. All he sees is, how am I going to have a son? How will I have a son? You know why? Because Zechariah was older in age. He couldn't imagine him and his wife Elizabeth holding a baby in their weathered and aged hands. Listen, the thing that was impossible for Zechariah was the thing that he couldn't get over. It was the thing where he couldn't put his faith in. It was the thing that he couldn't get. He could see all things, but he couldn't see that thing because it seemed impossible for him. And because it seemed impossible and it seemed improbable, he almost couldn't even grasp the redemption of Israel. He narrows in on what his thing was. Mm-hmm. And it was the thing that he had been moaning, the thing that in it deep in his heart he and his wife had been going, God, why hasn't this happened? And so this thing that he's asking, why hasn't it happened, that thing became impossible to him. The God who can do all things, who separated light and dark, who made everything happen, Zechariah says, but can you do this? How can you do this? How will you do this? It was impossible to him. And yet the Bible tells us that what's impossible to man is possible to God. And Zechariah's name means, and God will remember. See, after 400 years of nothing, of silence, God brings this man, Zechariah, whose name succinctly means, I remember you. And God does that. And so what is impossible is not impossible because God remembers you. God hears the cries of his children. God knows his people. But the Bible also makes it really clear that God is training us to wait on miracles, training us to expect miracles. The Bible and the stories of people who are waiting, who are doing that, it's training us for the gospel. It's training us for the coming of Christ. It's training us for what only God can do, which is the impossible, and we wait in it. But I'm telling you, when God shows up, what's going to manifest itself is the one thing that we deem impossible because it's the one thing we can't see over. And God, who sees above and over all things, sees that thing. And if he answers Zechariah, how much more than you in Christ will he answer your prayers? But you're going to have to wait. See, that's what Christmas is all about. I mean, we talked about it. The kids are not, oh my gosh, the presents, oh my gosh, Christmas is coming. You know, it doesn't help. You start to show Christmas time is coming. Yeah. I mean, but we get like all that. So there's expectancy in the coming Christmas. There's expectancy in the season. Why? But we have to wait. We don't, you know, we're a culture who thinks like Christmas time's coming and all of a sudden we should have Christ in the manger today. And we have to wait on that. We have to wait on God, and the expectancy builds and the expectancy comes. And what's important in that is that God's faithful. God is entirely faithful. And what is he faithful to do? To make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Prepared what? To receive their King. Who's their King? Jesus Christ. And so you know what? You need 24 days or 30 days or whatever it is from Thanksgiving to Christmas Day. You need those days to prepare your heart for Christ. Because on your own, if you could have Christ when you want Christ, you wouldn't be prepared to receive him because those impossible things would blind you from seeing Christ. And the Bible says when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. And so I can wait on that. I can wait as the Lord does that thing, because I want to see the glorious presence of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the fact that we can appear with him in glory, because he comes in as we receive him as Lord and Savior, as our Master, as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's amazing. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ has come, and we have the privilege, thank you, God, to be able to celebrate this, to be mindful of it. And I would encourage our readers, Jason, in light of what you just shared, to dig into the book of Luke this week. You know what, Luke chapter 1 and 2.
You know what I found as I was studying the beginning chapters of Luke? It's really fascinating. Luke mentions salvation more than any of the other gospel writers. In fact, Matthew and Mark don't mention salvation really at all. Luke mentions it more, 6 times, to save. He uses the word to save, and he uses the word to save for all. He says this good news is for all people. And John only uses it once. And then Luke also is the only one that talks about the Holy Spirit in terms of John being filled with the Holy Spirit coming on Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit conceiving in Mary, the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Luke. And then Luke caps that off in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter when the Holy Spirit falls upon the apostles. So Luke gives us this very vivid, intimate picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Luke does some things that nobody else does.
That's the assignment, everyone. Seems pretty clear to me. 2 weeks and a
day. You got a lot of time now because we don't have any news. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Preempt that SRN news.
Yeah, it was going to be bad news anyway. So
probably was.
Focus on the good news today and draw near to God, and he'll assuredly draw near to you. He's in that business of redemption, and he desires all of us to come to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.